The Will, Tales from a Revolution, Pennsylvania. Written by Lars D.H. Hedbor, narrated by Shimon Casey. Dedication. For Roger Bisson, Anna Johnston, Sandy Kish, Rhonda Paquette, Linda Morris, and countless other dedicated educators. Thank you for encouraging that strange little boy on the path toward understanding his world just a little bit better every day. The sun beat down, as merciless as the flies that buzzed about, and all I could think about was death. Before me lay the heaped earth and dark grave of the father I'd scarcely gotten to know, taken in the summer of his 41st year. I was here out of a sense of despairing duty, having suffered the most painful blow this man could have devised to strike at me from beyond the grave he now occupied. It had begun with a sharp rap at the door of the mean little house that my mother and I occupied. Mother was in one of her fits of despondency, so when the knock came at the door, I was the one to answer it. A stranger stood in the bright sun, his hat held respectfully over his chest. He looked me over and asked, "John Melker?" I nodded cautiously. "Aye, that's me." He bowed ever so slightly, producing a folded and sealed paper and handing it to me. Then he straightened and stood, looking expectant, so I slid my finger under the seal, dislodging the wax, and opened the paper. I scanned it, my brow furrowing unconsciously as I made out the words. "The presence of John Jacob Melker, or his duly appointed legal representative, is requested at the reading of the last will of Colonel Isaac Melker, late of Graham Park, deceased this Wednesday last, 10th July instant. If no representative can be arranged, his undersigned executors, Messrs. Clifton, Appel, and Lawyers Veller, will make the necessary arrangements to convey any bequest to you in as timely fashion as shall be practical. We are your obedient, etc." Gone? Dead? The colonel, the barracks master general, the dashing military officer, land speculator, the sharp-dealing cloth merchant, the distant father and flawed husband that my mother and I had known periodically for all of my 14 years on the planet, departed forever from this existence? It was too much to take in. I looked up from the page to see the stranger still looking at me. I asked dumbly, "Is there something you need of me?" "I was instructed to await your reading of this letter and to learn whether you could accompany me back to the offices of the Scrivener Baker for the reading." Still dazed, I said, "Of course. I shall need to gather my hat and inform my mother of my departure." He bowed again in acknowledgement, and I turned, leaving him standing in the doorway, outlined by the daylight without. I stopped at the threshold of Mother's room, where she sat silently, her hands busily knotting and looping some lacework, her eyes staring blankly at the wall before her. She slowly took note of my presence, and her hand came to a stop as she looked up at me. "The colonel is dead," I said, seeking no soft words to cushion the hard fact. She looked away from me abruptly and chewed her lip, silent tears springing to her eyes and trickling down her sunken cheeks. She closed her eyes, and I could see her shoulders shake as her hands fell limp over the half-finished tatting in her lap. "I am summoned to hear his bequests. Do you need anything before I go?" She shook her head, neither saying anything nor even looking at me. When she was feeling low, she might not speak to me for days at a stretch, or she might screech at me like one of the harpies in the Greek stories that the schoolmaster insisted I read. This time around, it had been silence, and even the news of her erstwhile husband's death was not enough to pierce that veil. I took a deep, deliberate breath and left her, seizing my well-worn hat from the hook over my sleep-rumpled pallet as I returned to the front door. I fell into step behind the stranger as he led me...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?